Hey guys, and welcome to the show. This week we're going to talk about how a threat makes it to a patch. So without further ado, play the music. Hey guys, and this week I have with me Farron Falk. Farron is a good friend of mine. We've worked together at Microsoft for a long time. Almost all of the time in the Charlotte site, we've both been on various beta projects and stuff like that periodically, gone out to Seattle periodically. But for the most part, we've spent our entire Microsoft careers in Charlotte. And we have something else in common. We were both escalation engineers. In fact, Farron is an escalation engineer still. And he's a security expert. And so what we're going to do during this show is talk about how we get from a threat to a patch. In other words, what the process is, you know, how we identify a threat that we're interested in protecting our end users against, and how that ends up on the Windows Update server for you to download and protect yourself. So, Farron, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing great, Lex. How are you?
I'm doing good. Farron's a huge Land Cruiser fan, and so we all had four-wheel drives, and we used to go out and take them out on the trails and stuff, and you've still got your Land Cruisers, both of them.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, awesome. Yep. I've got some four-wheel drive vehicles still as well, and it's still something that I have a lot of fun doing. So tell us a little bit about your role.
Okay, so my role, our team in security, we do a few different things. One is we support our anti-malware products like System Center Endpoint Protection, and we also help customers with security incidents. That could be anything from a malware attack on their network to denial of service, web defacement, or something like a persistent or determined human adversary, an attacker into the network. And so we're involved in quite a few different things, but that's the bulk of what our team does.
Yeah, and so it's interesting that you mentioned that, because just today I got a piece of email from the Black Hat Conference.
Okay.
You can go down the list. They talk about all of the new denial of service attacks, et cetera. And there's a lot of stuff out there, and it doesn't seem like the attacks are waning. It seems like, in fact, there are more and more attacks every day.
That's correct. As long as they can make money doing whatever type of attack it is, they're going to continue to, exploit that resource.
Yeah, and we just heard about Target a few months ago, and now we're hearing about Home Depot, right?
Yes, those are two of the bigger ones recently. The second one you mentioned is just starting up, so that's going to be a big deal. We think that's what we hear so far, so
yeah.
Time will tell.
Yeah, and it's not just us, right? There's the Apple thing with the celebrity pictures that's in the news right now.
Right. Yeah, it's always something new, and if they can't find some flaw in the software, they can often, bad guys can, do some type of social engineering to, not break any software, but just work their way in, maybe appearing as somebody else to, whoever they're talking to, which appears to be the case in that celebrity hacking account or issue.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there are several different types of attacks, right? There's denial of service attacks. There's the social engineering attacks.
Sure.
All sorts of stuff. So how do we protect our customers? We issue patches, but what I'm asking is, somebody, invents a new way to attack us. How do we find out about that generally, and how do we protect ourselves against it?
Right. There are many different ways that we find out about vulnerabilities in our software. One of the most common ones is from security researchers, which there are quite a few of them out there. They can either fill out a report on our website, or they can also email secure@microsoft.com with the details of that report. And when that report comes in, it gets analyzed. We get a ton of email to that email, secure@microsoft.com. Our team doesn't actually process those. Those are actually processed by the Microsoft Security Response Center. But they get, I was told, upwards of 400 emails per day which is about 150,000 per year of different types of reports. As you can imagine, there's, you know, a lot of those are spam or, you know, not legitimate reports. And but you know, they have to go through and, you know, read each one, because, you know, we certainly wouldn't want to miss something that was legitimately reported to us. And when those are reported, basically we look at the report, you know, determine, is this a legitimate vulnerability that somebody's reporting? And then if it is determined to be legitimate, then we open up a case, it gets assigned to an engineer, and they go through and determine the actual scope of that vulnerability. First one is, you know, is it actually legitimate? If it is, then they determine, you know, is that something that we're going to see, you know, that affects a lot of customers or only a few? And is that going to be something, you know, that is going to be a local or remote exploitation? Is it anything that's going to exploit the confidentiality or integrity or authenticity of our software? So if it's going to, you know, get around any of those three things, then it's definitely worth investigating. Okay, so we go through and we determine, is this a remote code execution vulnerability? Is it elevation of privilege, denial of service attack? Is it exploitable just locally or also remotely? Does it require authentication, or can it be unauthenticated? And so we just really need to figure out what's the worst possible scenario that an attacker could use to take advantage of this vulnerability, and then, you know, respond accordingly. That would mean, you know, working with the different product teams to determine what needs to be done to fix this. Is it something that requires an update? Could it require just information for customers, which would be what we call a security advisory, and, you know, just keep that process moving along with the product team to determine the best course of action. In many cases, as you know, we come out with security bulletins, which generally come out monthly for our different products, and then at that point, the Microsoft Security Research Center works up the bulletins, the content, and that includes things like workarounds, the product versions that are affected, that type of thing. And those are published along with the security bulletins each month. They also work, they also look at issues with other similar products. So, you know, this being a big company, there is some shared code. So something that might be, you know, in the Windows product might be in another product. And so we figure out what are all the affected products for a particular vulnerability and go ahead and proactively fix those as well, even though those, you know, might not even be known to the person who reported it.
Yeah. So one of the things that I see all the time is that we'll come out and say, hey, there's a vulnerability, but no known exploit, right? And so I think we should probably talk about that just a little bit, right? There's a difference between a vulnerability and an exploit. A vulnerability is something that we've determined could be a threat. An exploit is code or some sort of social attack that exploits that vulnerability, right?
Right, that's correct. Yeah, vulnerability is a flaw or potential flaw in the software, and then an exploit would be something that takes advantage of that vulnerability.
Yeah, and so a lot of times we get patches out or bulletins out before there's really any known exploit for vulnerabilities that we found.
Right, that's correct. So most security researchers disclose these things responsibly to us. They notify us before they let anybody else in the security community know about them. We do give credit to, you know, whoever reports it. If you look at the bottom of this security bulletin, it'll say, you know, credits go to whoever the finder might be, and so they, you know, get they can add that to their resume for things that they've done in the security community.
Yeah, absolutely. So it helps them and it helps us.
Right, that's correct. Yes, and a lot of times we actually find out about these vulnerabilities internally through our own testing and the security development lifecycle, which we've been doing for about 10 years now. So it's something that about 10 years ago we came up with this security development lifecycle to basically make our product secure, not just once we start writing the code, but from the time they're actually thought up or designed. So security is built into the architecture of our products now.
Yeah, and so you mentioned the word lifecycle, so that's something that I think I should probably touch on. All of our products have a lifecycle, and that lifecycle starts the day the product ships. And, you know, we have typical counters in place for how long a specific product is supported, and that product can move from mainstream support, which is, you know, what they're in initially when that product releases, to extended support. And then when it falls out of extended support, we're kind of done supporting it, right?
Right, that's correct.
Yeah. So when a product moves from mainstream support to extended support, we still do security hot fixes for it, but we don't do anything else.
Right, that's correct. So from between the end of mainstream support and the end of extended support, we only provide security hot fixes, no other just regular hot fixes for those products. That's correct.
Yeah. So products like XP, right, that were fairly secure when they were released, but that was a long time ago. Those products have now moved out of extended support. So if somebody's out there running XP, you know, they don't get security updates anymore, correct?
Right. That's correct. So they're basically on their own, and there's, you know, it's very likely that they'll run into some security incident on that computer sooner or later.
Yeah, as sad as that may sound, that's the case. But XP is a very, very old OS, right? I mean, that was released in what, late 2001?
I think so, yeah. It's quite a while ago.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so if you're still running XP, please, 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 at least upgrade to Windows 7, preferably upgrade to Windows 8 or 8.1, because those OSs are much more secure, and we support them from a security standpoint.
Right, that's correct. Yeah, you can get a brand new computer with running Windows 8 for, I saw one the other day, they're starting at under $200. So, and they go up to, sky's the limit.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, you and I were talking today at lunch. We ate lunch together. And we were talking about some of the newer boxes that come out. And I saw an article on one, I think it's Acer, but don't quote me on that, you know, has a touch screen, folds into a tablet. I think it's $400, and it's got an i5 in it. I mean, you know, what more could you want?
That's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so now it's coming up on Patch Tuesday, and I always get these emails that say, hey, we're going to release X number of patches on Tuesday the 9th.
Right.
Where do those emails come from? Does your team generate them? Do they come from the Security Center?
Yeah, they come from the MSRC or Microsoft Security Response Center. So they just came out with one actually about an hour ago that has what's called the pre-release notification. And that just states that we're coming out with a certain number of bulletins. In this case, it's four. We're slated to deliver next Tuesday with a brief synopsis of what those are. So one is an Internet Explorer update, and then there's three other ones. I forget exactly what those are. And then that's just to give customers a heads up on what we have in store for them next week. And that's prone to change. So sometimes, you know, our testing is continuous and ongoing. And, you know, it's happened in the past where on the Thursday before Patch Tuesday, we'll do the advanced notification. And then sometime between then and Tuesday, you know, we learn about some problem that, you know, some customer or tester has run into with an update, and we'll actually have to pull it at the last minute. So that, you know, just because, you know, we say we're coming out with four next week, that's not always the case, but almost always. But, you know, we're you know, quality's the top priority there.
Yeah, absolutely. So one more thing that I wanted to ask. I know that those notifications are available to Premier customers because we get the emails and we forward them to our customers. So if you're, if you've got a TAM, you're probably going to see those advanced notifications. And of course you'll see the security bulletins. Is there a way for just an average end user to see those security bulletins? Do we post those out online somewhere?
Okay. Yes, we can actually sign up for the technical alerts, and there's a link here in the meeting where you can click on that and sign up for either basic or comprehensive alerts to be notified when bulletins are coming out.
Okay. And what about the levels? I know that we assign different levels sometimes to these bulletins, like the one that just came out is a level 3.
So, yeah, there are several different ratings for the severities of security bulletins, the highest of which is critical. That means, you know, it's going to affect most customers or basically all customers, and it's of the highest importance to get that update tested and deployed as quickly as possible. Below that, we have ones that are also important, moderate, and low, and those are of lesser severity and generally don't affect all the products and don't affect nearly as many customers. We also have something called the Exploitability Index, and based on what our researchers figure out about the actual flaw, they can also determine, you know, if they were the bad guy, what's the likelihood that somebody will go to the effort to develop a working exploit to take advantage of that vulnerability. And so that's where the Exploitability Index comes from. And generally, they rate it as, you know, is it likely that we'll see working exploit code in the wild within 30 days or not? So that's basically the main criteria there.
Yeah, so the Exploitability Index just rates the likelihood of an exploit, and then the criticality in date is how many people it will affect and how serious the impact would be if it was exploited.
That's correct, yes.
Awesome. And so we also do the security webcast.
Right, so that's done for Premier customers, it's done on Tuesdays, and for other customers, it's done on the day after, the Wednesday after Patch Tuesday. And that's just an overview of the information that's provided in the security bulletins, as well as explanation of each bulletin and what issue it resolves.
Awesome. And, you know, it just strikes me that we do an awful lot to make sure that our customers stay secure, right? That's the number one goal here, is to make sure that, you know, if there is a security exploit that somebody releases, or there's a vulnerability that we discover without an exploit, you know, we can make sure that everybody is aware of that. You know, we're very open about it. Our goal is to make sure that everybody's protected.
Right, that's correct. We want to be as transparent as possible and give the customers all the information that we can about a particular vulnerability. And I mentioned earlier, there's something called a security advisory, and that will generally come out if there's something that customers need to know about, but we don't actually have a working update for that particular vulnerability. And sometimes those, mostly those are about our products, but sometimes they're about third-party products as well. So it's important to also keep up with the security advisories and read the information that's in those as well.
And last but not least, we have a lot of products out there to help customers stay safe, things like Defender.
Right.
Right. Security Essentials.
Sure. Yeah, that's our host-based antivirus. It was originally called Microsoft Security Essentials, and then once it was built into Windows 8, it's now called Windows Defender, and that's our host-based antivirus product.
Right, yeah. So, but if somebody's running Windows 7, they'd probably still see it as Security Essentials, right? Or have we updated it in Windows 7 as well?
It's still called Security Essentials in Windows 7.
Yeah. Okay. And we also have products for the enterprise as well, correct?
That's correct. We've got a multitude of tools. System Center Configuration Manager is a big one that many enterprise customers use to manage and do reporting on updates, not only security updates, but other just general system updates as well. And then there's other tools like Microsoft Baseline Security Analyzer and products like WSUS that can be used to deploy updates as well.
Yeah. And so last but not least, let's talk about the malicious software removal tool.
Yes. Actually, the malicious software removal tool, it's a something that's included in the monthly download of updates. And it scans for and removes a very small subset of the most prevalent malware that's out there in the wild. It's really designed for systems that don't have any antivirus on them, which hopefully isn't very many people, because most antivirus products do actually detect and remove just about everything that's detected and removed by the malicious software removal tool.
Yeah. So by default, there's really no reason that anybody would not have antivirus or some sort of protection on their box, right? Because Defender's free.
That's correct. Yeah, Defender and Security Essentials and a number of third-party products as well are free antivirus solutions. So there should be very little reason for most customers to not have any type of antivirus protection.
Yeah, and the free ones are pretty good. You know, I'm not saying that there's not a need to go out and buy one if you feel like you have to have something that, you know, you've spent money for, but the free ones, they do a pretty good job.
Sure, yes. There are a variety of alternatives out there that all do a pretty good job of protecting your system. Also, other basic security tasks like keeping your firewall enabled, keeping your updates installed, not only for our products, but also all the other stuff you have on your system, Flash, Java, your PDF reader, whatever that might be, keeping all those things up to date is very critical as well.
So if I was your grandmother and we were talking and I just bought a brand new computer, what are some of the things that you would tell me to do to protect my system?
One is to actually install a third-party utility that I don't think I can really name, but it basically keeps all that other stuff up to date. And it's not something that we provide or officially recommend, but there are third-party tools that keep all your other system utility or system drivers and utilities up to date, and those do a pretty good job. Other basic security measures are, you know, don't open that email from, you know, somebody you're not expecting. If you get an attachment to an email, even if it's from somebody you know that you're not expecting, Don't download it and run it. You know, they probably didn't send you an airline ticket or a shipping notice from some major shipper. That's pretty unlikely.
Yeah, and if somebody calls and tells you that they're from Microsoft and that they've noticed that your computer's infected with a virus, hang up the phone.
Right. Yes, that's correct. Or if you're really bored, you can just have fun with them and see how long you can talk to them.
Yeah.
I've done that before.
Yeah, we were having fun today. Before the show started, let me just explain. You've heard me mention Chris before on the show. Chris is our producer, and Chris was telling me that he got one the other day. And, you know, he's in Sammamish. And right. He's like, great, what building are you in? I'll bring the computer to you.
Yeah, that's when they figure out some way to get off the phone very quickly.
Yeah, I think they did. I think they hung up on him. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you for being on the show, Farron. It's something that I'm glad that we had the chance to do. It's something that I've wanted to do for a while, and it's certainly important information, right? I can't tell you how many times I've walked into somebody's house, got on their computer, and, you know, been bombarded by pop-ups or, right. You know, just junk.
Right.
So protecting your computer, protecting your software, That's huge, right? Because that also means you're protecting your data, you're protecting your personal information.
Sure.
So obviously very important.
Definitely, it is.
Okay. Is there a website that you'd like people to go to?
For general security information, if you go to technet.microsoft.com/security, that's kind of our general starting point that has links to basically everything else on the Microsoft properties about security.
Okay, well, that's it, guys. That's it for the show. And again, you know, protect yourself. Protect yourself. That's your Taste of Premier.